Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
That you think is gonna last. Well, you wouldn't even know a diamond if you held it in your hand. The things you think are precious, I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, stowing away?
I still don't know what you mean. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time?
Alrighty. Hey, this is KX93.5. You are listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do the show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And before we get started, because I missed my window, well, first off, I guess I should say happy Easter to those who are Easter people, and happy April Fool's Day for people like me. So there's that. Also, there is an Easter egg hunt. And I'm sure that I'll be down there. No, I got to go up to L.A. But my guest, Leah, I'm sure she's going to be out there hunting for Easter eggs. Out at the baseball field, the American Legion Post 222 here in Laguna Beach has their annual Easter egg hunt. Starts promptly at 1, and I hear that the eggs don't last much past that. So if you're going to do it, you want to be on time. Okay, so there's that. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. My guest today is Leah Vasquez, and she is a personality around town. Hi, Leah. How are you?
Good morning, Ernest, and thank you so much. This was a real pleasure to come on the show and have an opportunity.
You haven't really done it yet, so you can't really, you know, conclude.
Then I won't say thank you until the end.
I have a guest book, and I don't hand it out to the end because I don't want people to have to get it back and cross out stuff and tell me that they didn't have a good time, even though they were saying that they were going to. Anyway, how are you?
Well, I'm just fine. It's fantastic living here in Laguna. I love looking out at the cloud cover.
Okay. Yes, I guess it is a little cloudy and gray today. How long have you been here?
I've been in Laguna since 1964. When I came here when I was
back
a young
when it was
girl.
Really fun.
It was very slow, and I was asked the question, why are you going there? There is nothing there. I said, exactly.
Oh, there you go. And where from did you spring?
Well, I came.
Maybe whence from?
Whence from I sprung was originally from Massachusetts, where I was born. So I'm an East Coast. I'm an East Coaster.
Okay.
And I always had a single bed, and the significance of that. Yes.
We're taking a turn here.
Well, not actually. I always thought as a child that I was at the east edge of the bed, and that how would I feel on the west edge of the bed, because I used to sleep when I was a child on the edge. So I was very happy I could find another edge.
So it definitely looks like we're going to be on the edge for
California
most of the hour.
Was on the edge. And I like that place. I like to be in that place.
And so what made you, well, obviously the bed thing, but why Laguna? What drove you here?
Originally,
a Rambler? A 67 Rambler?
Not really, because I had grown up in Studio City.
Oh.
My mother was an actress.
Oh.
And
would we know who she was?
Well, her name was Jean, her acting Harlow? Name. Jean, not Jean Harlow, Jean Gerson.
Oh,
and
okay.
She was a character actress in many movies that people see. You would not know her name, probably.
Right.
But she was in The Conqueror, and she worked with John Wayne and many, many well-known actors, Steve McQueen.
Okay.
She was in commercials for Star Trek, the early Star Trek.
Look out.
Yes. So it was fun. And we always, and the neighborhood was filled with, you know, actors.
Right.
Well known, and a lot of Western actors. So we spent time on sets out in the valley, in the West Valley,
where my brother and I could ride horses. Where all the big rocks are?
Where all the big rocks are, and now rock stars.
Chatsworth and all.
You know, so that. And I grew up there. I went to high school at North Hollywood High School.
And we went to Fairfax. We used to compete against you. East Valley
exactly.
League of Los Angeles.
Of course.
There you go.
Right.
All right.
And West Side Story, Dick Beamer was a friend of mine. And my brother was in the earlier class. And so he was a friend of with Natalie Wood. These were common. Our relationships
like
were common.
Day,
it was every day. And even going to actors' homes and swimming in their pools. I mean, it was just normal.
Yes, that's John.
Right. It was very, very interesting living out there. And I married very young. I was 18.
Okay.
Almost 19. And so my son was born shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
But my husband came from a totally different background. We went to high school together.
Okay.
And then he was hired by Aeronautronics, one of the first companies to establish itself in Southern Orange County in Costa Mesa.
What was
Aeronautronics was a manufacturing plant. It had to do with aerospace.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so we moved to Costa Mesa.
Oh.
And that was where the Harbor Boulevard, 405 Freeway was brand new, and Harbor Boulevard had no cars on it. And it ended up.
Oh, like at Dick Church's, but in the pictures there.
Exactly. In fact, Dick Dale.
Oh.
Dick Dale, the Deltones, lived close by.
Huh.
And so we moved into a small apartment with our son. And shortly thereafter, I met a woman who owned the apartment, and she said, "You belong in Laguna Beach." And I said, "Where's that?"
Yeah, not here.
That's right. Where's that? I had been to Newport. I had been to Balboa Island on Bal Week. Then we moved to Huntington Beach, and that was...
Oh, my gosh.
For a very short time.
Worked in Costa Mesa. That was my first
stop here
in Orange County. And then... but I lived in Huntington Beach when I was doing that. So we have this
crisscross thing. We do. And Huntington Beach, you know, that was the little donkeys sucking up oil all the time.
Oh, yes.
You know? And I lived right near the beach in a very old house, didn't even have a foundation. And you could even feel the house shake when the garage door closed. It was very interesting. But the energy in Huntington Beach was something I really wanted to get away from.
Oh.
And when my former... landlady, you might say, said, "You belong in Huntington Beach."
She said Laguna.
She said, "Yeah, I'm sorry, Laguna Beach." And I said, "Well, where is that?" She says, "Oh, well, you know, it's down the coast, you know, where they throw pots."
Oh.
And I'm picturing in my mind people on the cliff
just
blowing. Exactly, like Henry Dana.
You're like, yeah, I'm off.
Henry
awesome
Dana
that.
With the hides across, you know, throwing the hides off into the ships.
Oh.
I thought we were throwing pots into the ocean. I'm very literal.
You're like,
I'm extremely literal. If you tell me something, that's me. You know, I think, okay. So I come down here to Laguna Beach and where the subway is on the Coast Highway.
Oh, yes.
That was the real estate office.
Okay.
And she had told me, my landlady, that she had heard about a house, and it was on the top of a hill. And as far as she knew, there was no real foundation. It was stone, but there were goats in walking through it. And I thought, oh, that's for me. I love that. I love animals. So that's it. I'm going to buy that. So it was all of $13,000. So I thought,
oh my.
My parents gave me a few thousand and said, go for it. So I came down and was really, really disappointed when he said it had just sold.
Oh.
So I said, well, what else do you have?
What of the goats?
What about those goats? He says, not to fear. I happen to have a house in the canyon.
Oh, my gosh.
I had never.
Heavens.
I didn't know about the canyon. Where's the canyon? Oh, he said, and he used the term canyon rats.
Oh.
Is, you know, not hippies, but rats. This is prior to hippies.
This is before the hippies
got there.
These were
rats. Canyon rats. These are the people that are a little bit out there. I thought, well, maybe so. So we drove out to the canyon past the big bend. Mm. And he did say to me, by the way, there isn't any water.
Oh, there you go.
Which sent another chapter in my life. But we went out there, and sure enough, there on the corner where the veterinary hospital is, where Dr. Rose Eckberg owned it as the first female veterinarian in Orange County and the person who started the Pacific Marine Mammal Center.
Oh, my gosh.
There stood a goat, except it was a ram, and he was tethered. And I said, and we turned in, and then went to Sun Valley Drive and turned a little bit east, and up on a rise was a house with about a third of an acre.
Okay.
It had a corner lot, and then the house sat next to it, and it was all by itself, and I loved the idea. It was very ranchy looking, and had broken windows, and had a dead tree in front that obviously had been eaten from the inside out by ants or something. And I said, I'll take it.
This is me. Broken windows?
That's
what I was looking for.
And it was almost Halloween, and I was married on Halloween.
Oh, so there's that.
Yes, there's that, too. I mean, you know, I look back in time and think, oh, my goodness, I really had an exciting life and didn't realize it.
Yeah, and right at this moment, realizing, gosh, I'm kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm like, what? I was married, my husband and I were married in Los Angeles on Adams Street.
Oh, yeah.
By Judge Ida Mae Adams. Oh, and it was like the Adams family. Truly.
Oh, in the big houses on Adams?
She had a big house, and on her stairway going up were all the portraits of her ancestors. And she wore a white wig and a black robe.
Wow.
That's who married us. Right.
Right.
It was very interesting.
The eyes follow you.
The eyes, like the magic castle. Right, exactly. You know. So anyway, that was interesting. And so water became a very big issue in my early part of my life.
Right away.
Right away.
You don't have any water.
And the intrigues of water and the behavior of people surrounding it. And those people who will remember Chinatown, the movie.
Uh-huh. Yes, yes.
And the wars about water.
Yes, yes, yes.
This was not this exactly in miniature. This was the way it was, finding people cutting our water lines in the middle of the night that we didn't know we had.
Oh, look at that!
Yes, look at that, and we didn't know that our house supplied the water for the entire neighborhood.
Wow!
So, it turned out that we hired a water company or a drilling company to hunt for water on our side lot, not knowing anything about where or
Yes, the pipes and all.
And we didn't know we had pipes to anything. So, of course, we had really helpful neighbors, some very, very helpful. But they dug holes into the lot, and it looked like Swiss cheese until a neighbor from above came down with his divining rods.
Oh, I just thought, you know, there should be a divining rod in this story.
There is. And not only did he divine our well within minutes and without holes.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. That it turned out that Joan Irvine of the Irvine Company always has diviners. And she has the major well resource in Orange County. So you see, I'm in much good company.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. My guest today is Leah Vasquez, and she is being herself. All right. This is KX93.5. We'll be right back.
Say your prayers. think that that's a selfish want. I really don't. Well, I'm not saying that I have this capacity because it's hard to develop that capacity on your own when you're being stopped at every turn.
Time nowhere to go, melt me down. I'm like wax to your jokes, lost and found, knocking heads, laying low. And there's no point reliving crimes to lose this. Still wanna waste all my time. I wanna waste all my time. Still wanna waste all my time. I wanna waste all my time with you. Oh my lover, my lover, my love. We can never go back. We can only do our best to recreate. Don't turn over the page. We should rip it straight. Try our very best to fake it. Show me joy, flower through disarray. Let's destroy each mistake that we made. Then restore color back to the gray. There's no pride in sharing scars. Still wanna waste all my time. I wanna waste all my time. Still wanna waste all my time. I wanna waste all my time with you. Oh my lover, my lover, my love. We can never go back. We can only do. Turn a blind eye. Days and nights we lost to weakness. Help me turn a blind eye. Days and nights we lost to weakness. Oh, my lover, my lover, my lover.
All righty, this is KX93.5, and you are listening to The Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. Oh, gosh, that was my old time slot. Every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am delighted to have as my guest Leah Vasquez, longtime Laguna resident. And she is telling stories of old, of yore. Okay, so when we left off, you had moved down. Well, you had been in Huntington Beach. You'd been in Costa Mesa. But someone told you, go west. But anyway, you ended up in the canyon and had a house. And you were, I think, right as we left, you were divining for water.
Exactly. I wasn't divining. It was a divine experience. But my neighbor came down, and he was from Germany,
mm-hmm.
and he was originally with his family, and he was an engineer. But he used these incredible rods. They weren't the typical divining sticks. They were stainless steel and copper.
Oh!
Within a few minutes, he had divined the well, and we got water and moved on. And that was, of course, an incredible experience finding that out.
Yeah, that's an interesting start.
It is. And then talking to Dr. Rose Eckberg, the veterinarian, mm-hmm. who started the PMMC, Pacific Marine Mammal Center, which was Friends of Sea Lions originally. So she would go down to the beach and haul up these animals and with an IV hanging off of her truck. And then she'd knock on doors early in the morning before her practice started and haul out the people who were willing to come into her surgery room to find out where the blood supply in a pinniped was. All right. So as they passed out, she went to the next and the next and the next. Anyway, she inspired many people by her earnest interest, pardon the pun, earnest, in developing and understanding.
This may be the first time that word's been used on the show.
Really, in earnest?
Yes.
Rose was an amazing woman, and she, you know, difficult in some ways, but so.
A character.
She was an observer, and I guess that's what linked with me, the idea of observation. And that goes all the way through both arts and sciences to observe and to see what's going on and to take the time to stand back and watch. And I would watch her, watch an animal and how it behaved before she would do anything. And so she was very successful and brought in some of her employees, Jim Stauffer, and then eventually John Cunningham, who taught at the high school sciences, and my son as well, to help start the Friends of the Sea Lion, which now, of course, is a major asset to Laguna Beach.
It's a fixture.
It's a fixture. But the thing that
A pillar, if you will.
Exactly. But the thing that really was so fantastic about coming into Laguna in those days particularly was that my son and friends, his little friends, a few of them on that same area of Sun Valley Drive, were able to leave for an entire day and roam the hills.
Oh, right.
And this is something like that children cannot do anymore. I mean, a few can. Mm-hmm. But everything is so, you know, they have to check in so much.
Right.
They have cell phones. You have to know.
Right. There's
you
a
know,
tether. Time is structured.
Everything's structured. Yes, exactly. So what they experienced set the course for their lives, too. And the canyon is the entry, the entire canyon, all the way from, if we want to say, the 405 freeway, mm-hmm. into the ocean. That is the entry into Laguna other than the Coast Highway.
Sure.
And that experience is what I had coming into Laguna from the 405 freeway.
Sure, sure.
The smell of the orange groves.
The old Canyon Road as well.
I remember the criticism that people died on it. Yes, there were probably crosses once a week on the Canyon Road.
Yeah.
But it was safer than ever because it slowed people down.
Right.
They also slowed down their thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you could smell the perfume of the canyon, the sage. That's
mm-hmm.
why we call it sage scrub. And also you could smell coming in the orange trees of Orange County. So this combination of orange and sage, just the perfume. And then coming by the lakes and in the summer, you had flowers on it. You had the lilies that lay on the lakes. It was an incredible, beautiful, emotional, spiritual, visual experience.
Yeah, and I guess it wasn't like now it is a transition from one freeway to the next, and then you
as
kind of
quick
cruise
as you can.
Through as fast as you can,
right.
And then you're stacked up.
And then you just stack up, exactly. But the canyon is an inspiration in the arts, and I think that is what's so critical that we cannot forget. No matter what we do, we need to be sure that canyon and our connection to how we arrive
mm-hmm.
and who we are is preserved.
And I guess that is the one thing that sets us apart from everywhere America.
It sets us apart certainly from the sprawl
Right.
Of what Los Angeles was, and those people who are history buffs will understand how that all occurred. We have to be careful. We have density issues, but we have the most beautiful place. I mean, this is just, it's Shangri-La here.
Sure, sure. It is spectacular.
It's spectacular. So protecting it and being active in it is something that I also embrace. And
so when did that start?
Well, it started right away. As I said, it started with the water issue, and I remember going down with Rose and seeing an early city manager in Laguna Beach, and I had to caution her because she had a fiery language and temperament. I said, you might want to send him some candy instead, you know, yeah. As she accused him.
I found that this works a little bit better.
It does work a little better. Persuasion. But, as you get older, you get a lot more courage and feistiness. I'm probably that way as well. But but that's really what started. So we were able to get from the Big Bend up, if people don't know this already, and the Big Bend being now was where Telonix company was, and now it is where LCAD, the Laguna College of Art and Design, has their East Campus, and that's their campus of technology, the gaming, the animation, all of that.
Really? I didn't know that either.
And so I work with LCAD now.
I know.
As a partner with College University Partner through the American Association of University Women. So
wow.
we bring information. It's really for women. It's really returning women to school and also for girls to know that they have job wage parity. They have Start Smart classes, but this includes the men there too. So they become national AAUW members, and there's scholarships for women.
Okay.
And yeah. There are classes that are given, and voter registration, and they have a job fair coming up, and that's something else I'll talk about.
We'll get to that.
Yes, and so the Canyon offered incredible opportunities to learn about nature. I mean, to see wild animals roaming, not only the animals that the Irvine Company, the herds that they had, the bulls and the cattle, and watching how their behavior was, but actually seeing mountain lions walk across from my kitchen window, seeing bobcats, my son running home with his friend frantically, why are you so breathless? And he says to me, because an owl was chasing us with its claws down, trying to get us. I said, so what happened? He says, well, we found a rabbit. Oh. It was somebody else's food.
Yes, let's learn about the birds and the bees here. Lesson number one.
Right. So on the Canyon, I had a goat, and I had farm animals, chickens and ducks, and those also were fascinating.
So the mountain lions and the bobcats never ate your chickens or
your
ducks?
No, I had a cat named George, and George was very feisty, and he did get attacked by something. And when I brought him to Dr. Eckberg Rose, and she sewed him up, I looked at the stitching. It was less than professional. It had a few little. What would you call
tangles?
Pleats?
Oh.
I said, Rose, what's this? She said, well, he's alive, isn't he? What an answer. But anyway, she figured he got caught by either a bobcat or a mountain lion or something,
right.
Or even a coyote.
Yeah.
In those days, we didn't see many coyotes because we had
mountain lions. Right.
And so that balance was thrown off. The last mountain lion I saw was in 1993 with a big fire.
Mm.
And I was sitting in a dentist's office right along 3rd Street where the water district is.
Yes.
And there was a dentist's office up there. I had gone up with a friend of mine to drive her. And I'm sitting there, and she has her mouth open and cannot talk, but she's pointing out the window, and she's going, And I look out the window, and sure enough, there are two mountain lions. Very rare to see them together, but one was black and one was brown. And I said, I've never seen that. So I asked animal control what that was, and they said they were siblings. and that
okay.
they often have different
around.
Colors.
Oh, oh yes. Really? Oh.
So different colors, you see.
Yeah.
Aha.
We're all so brothers and sisters.
That's it. That's it. That was the last time I saw a mountain lion in Laguna Beach, but many a bobcat. And I also got involved with other groups, such as the Hortense Miller Garden.
Hmm.
And they had a lot of animals up there. So I'd often see bobcats. And, in fact, a blue jay would come and land right on my hand and take peanuts out of it.
That's like the song, Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder.
Yes, exactly. So we have wonderful things in the canyons. We have ancient caves with drawings, with petroglyphs.
Really?
Yes. And they're all up in there. And people who hike and are interested, especially if they go out to the Nick Center now, they can find areas and have special tours where they can appreciate the canyon and the nature and the rocks. It's a subterranean canyon. It was covered by water. Huh. It was the ocean. That's why there are shells in inclusions all up and down. So I was also fortunate to have an opportunity to work with Jim Dilley.
Oh.
And all those people that made Laguna our
all
current
right.
history.
So hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being show. Today, my guest is Leah Vasquez, and she is, well, she's not laying down the law, but she is explaining a lot of the history and the culture and how Laguna became Laguna. So we'll be right back on KX93.5.
Your voice met me at the gates, dangled keys in haste with promised face. I wish I could have known what it's like to have my body made a battlefield. They painted it all, felt so trapped like I've been bought and sold. While they play power games, got stoned. I blamed myself and forgot who was in control. I've walked too deep inside a man's world. Lost my strength, forgotten what I came for. And I know I'm not the first that you made the bed for work. When I refuse to be coerced, I'll take the blacklist, I'll do time, but I'm not guilty.
Can I forgive myself for myself to help? size of my GTO. Loud enough to piss you off.
We're back, and we're not fooling, even though it is April Fool's Day. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. We do this show live every Saturday morning from every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman, and my guest today is Leah Vasquez. And we've been having an awesome time here, so much so that we really haven't talked about what you really do now. We've talked about where you grew up. We've talked about your coming to Laguna, some of the adventures that were part of being in the canyon. But really, you're an artist, right?
Yes, and I have been an artist all my life. Because I came from Boston, as I said, and the seasons are really significant.
Yes.
And they actually outline what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so during the wintertime as a child, since my father was an artist as well, I had an easel. And the easel was permanent in my room.
Right, right, right.
And so I painted all the time. And when I came out west, I continued working with art in school, and always had art classes. In those days, art classes were just part of the curriculum.
Yes, like music and
yes,
PE.
All the arts. And I got involved both in the arts and the sciences, particularly in physiology.
Really?
And thought that I would go into the medical field as well. But
so many parallels.
Yes, it's very interesting how these things come at you, and I think it's because I was inspired by my instructor who taught physiology, and I could see the parallel. I also danced, and I was in Hollywood a lot, and those things, and I could the parallels between your body and the mechanics of that body,
mm-hmm.
that was very interesting. I even did a painting called The Mechanics. body mechanics. And I had worked in both sides. I had dissected bodies at General Hospital in L.A., and uh-huh. I had, at the same time, I was at Otis Art Institute studying art. This was after I finished the Valley College.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
So at Otis, I really, really honed my skills.
Sure, sure. I mean, that's for serious,
exactly.
Serious business.
And again, I was married early on, as
right.
I said. And
so
then we moved to Orange County, where I got involved and I studied with Rex Brandt, the famous watercolorist, whose work is out at LCAD. And he was one of the significant watercolorists who painted with Phil Dyke. And so I studied with him. And but then I got, I also, at Otis, I really got involved in etching and engraving with Ernest Fried and in drawing. And so really, you know, very in-depth, structured academic work to understand about the practice of art and then the history. So moving to Laguna, I continued and graduated with my undergraduate degree, actually, from Otis. And then I eventually I got a scholarship when I lived in the Canyon, and I went to UCI.
Oh, wow.
And graduated from there in art. And then they hired me upon my graduation.
Wow.
To administer the studio arts program in the fine arts department.
Okay.
And to be the assistant director to Melinda Wirtz in the gallery.
My gosh.
And that really stepped it up for me. And from that point on, you know, my life became really involved in the art world quite seriously. And I became the chair of the Arts Commission and wrote the policy for the city, what they call AIPP, which is the program for public art.
Wow.
Art in public places.
Art in public
so,
places.
So, yes, and art.
So before we get way out into that, you had mentioned right before we left Jim Dilley.
Right, exactly. And so, I don't want to cheat
the people.
No, we don't want to cheat Jim. So I did do work. Again, it was always a balance between nature, science, and arts, and how they interact and inform you, and how nothing is separate. Everything you do counts. So it doesn't matter where you come from. In fact, when I used to teach classes, I would have people bring in the tools they use, whether it was a pencil or an accounting sheet. Hmm. And they would, and I would have them use that to make art, because that was what was important, not to lose track of who they are and who they were and what they did.
Okay, so you're not out there trying to be someone who's in Paris.
That's right. You're not trying to be, you have your own voice and your own way of approaching it. It's a signature, an imprint. And so I worked also as I always loved the idea of having all aspects of the art world. So everything from writing about art to making art. And so my artwork, then I was in a lot of shows. I had a lot of collections. I never had a gallery, though, and that was something that was very important to me, not to be represented, but to represent myself.
Okay.
When I left the university after 10 years, around 1990, I started my own art business, and it was from listening. And this is extremely important.
Do you ever let anything stop you? Like, you know, I'm afraid I can't do that?
That's a good question. Because what I did is because, yes, it was. Having been at UCI, I would go to the scenic, you know, the scenes department, the theater department, which I really had nothing to do with. But mm-hmm. I then got huge canvases. And I was able, yes, enormous drops. And then I'd paint them. And so I started a company based on exhibitions and providing backdrops for companies who were going to show in trade shows.
Right.
And then that morphed into actually my own company that did art for public and private sites. So with that.
So apparently the answer to my question was no. I never let things stop.
Nothing.
Nothing paralyzes you with fear.
No. In fact, today, and I'll move quickly through it, I came into my studio. I have a studio on the north end of town. It's not a commercial studio. It's a garage I rent. Okay. And it was also a garage studio with skylights that other very well known artists had prior to me. Roger Kuntz was one of them. Mm. And so I came in to do some work on tissue paper, because my newest work has to do with fragility.
Oh.
And partly because as I'm aging, it's more and more, but I've always been extremely interested in death. That is fascinating to me. I grew up in a cemetery, which is another story.
Yes.
Since my family owns cemeteries
in
Massachusetts.
We'll have to bring you back.
Right, from the dead. Bring me back. But what I found in my studio were silverfish eating the paper. And immediately, when you talked about stopping, I thought, aha.
Let me go down the floor and get some RAID.
No. I have indentured servants now. So with that, I strung up the paper full of holes and thought, this is gorgeous. I am going to start working on this paper.
Most people say, I have an infestation. Let me go down to the store and get some pesticide.
No, nothing occurs to me. It's what you see right in front of you that counts. And never saying no. If the minute you say no, the doors close. So always say yes.
True. Okay, we are out of time. And I just want to make sure if there was anything that you really wanted to say, since we've been, this is your chance.
That's what my son would say. I'm always being president of the Laguna Beach Beautification Council in town. We're working to establish Parka as a public meeting place.
Okay.
I also work with LCAD, where I'm also on the board, and we offer wonderful things for students and especially to women to improve their skills in terms of their negotiation for salaries and parity. So, and then lastly, I'm also working with the decommissioning of the nuclear plant, because that's first and foremost that people don't want to talk about is the fact that we have these enormous stores of nuclear radiation in our, you know, right along the coast.
And we have to address it.
Yes. All right. But thank you so much for inviting me today.
Thank you for coming. It's been really a delight. A very wonderful way to spend part of my Sunday morning. And thank whomever is listening out there for being there. This is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm going to leave, but coming up next is Steve Reed and Radio Caravan, I think. No. Coast Highway Shuffle. All right, that's it. This is KX93.5. Thanks for listening.